In this episode, we're heading south of the border to Molar City. And we're looking back at the legacy of a longtime educator. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Alexandra Rangel. Algodones, often called Molar City by locals and tourists, is experiencing a lighter winter season.
This is supposed to be our peak season moment right now. This line should be way longer.
And over the summer, the Crane School District lost beloved board member Dan Farr, who devoted his life to serving Yuma and La Paz schools.
He was very considered in the things he said. He was always making little side cracks and things to keep us laughing and entertained.
Plus, a look at this year's MLK celebration by the local NAACP. These stories coming up on Arizona Edition.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Alexandra Rangel. Political tensions and tough economic times are changing the way winter visitors travel and spend the season. Reporter Victor Calderon traveled to Algodones to talk to business owners about how things are shaping up this year.
Hi, guys. Are you ready for eyeglasses?
No.
Optical.
You can see.
What about hearing aids?
Yuma County residents, whether they live here year-round or are winter visitors, know that you can find more affordable dental work and prescription drugs in Los Algodones, Mexico. Just a 15-minute drive from the western edge of Yuma, and you're in what business owners here call Molar City. Most of the dental clinics and pharmacies are located within just 3 blocks. But these days, business owners say they are seeing less customers and clients, especially those who come from Canada. The winter visitors who do come take time to eat and drink at local restaurants and say the prices can't be beat. I spoke with Bill Pace, a winter visitor from Washington State. He was in line to cross back into the U.S. side after a dentist visit. He put it succinctly.
Saved a lot of money. People are very nice.
I visited one of the pharmacies. Genaro Legazpi Figueroa is an associate at the Phoenix Drugstore. I asked him how business is these days.
Espacio, apenas están llegando. Pensamos que iba a ser una temporada baja, pero hasta ahorita.
He said, it's slow. The winter visitors are just getting here. We thought it might be a low season for us. I asked him why he thinks there are less visitors this year.
Pues yo pienso que por lo que está pasando en Estados Unidos, tienen miedo a venir aquí en México. Pues más vienen, pues de Canadá, pero de Canadá están viniendo ya tarde. Pero gracias a Dios que ya estos días se está llenando. Pues todos vienen porque está barato el dentista y está barato los medicamentos.
He said, I think because of what's happening in the U.S., some people are afraid to come into Mexico. We usually get visitors from Canada. The Canadian visitors are slow to come so far. Thanks be to God, others are coming. Those who do come do so because they can find more affordable dentists and medicine. I asked Genaro what he would tell potential customers.
Yo a la gente que pues que está libre, que nada pasa. Que son puras fake news lo del otro lado, pero aparece aquí está muy suave y pues pueden venir con mucho gusto.
He said, nothing bad will happen if you come. It's fake news what some in the U.S. are saying. Here it's easygoing. Visitors are welcome. Dr. Liza Smith is a cosmetic dentist and owner of the recently opened Smile Lounge Dental Retreat in Los Algodones. But she's worked here for more than 10 years with her father, Dr. Isaias Iñiguez, who has his own practice.
This is supposed to be our peak season moment right now. Yeah. This line should be way longer. The line on foot should be way long, and it's not, and I'm assuming because of Trump. Canadians are not coming like they were in previous years. And I spoke to a couple Canadian patients in Yuma, and they said, they're not coming, not coming.
What? So is that the reason they give you, like, they don't like the politics, they don't like prices?
No, because of the administration, because of the Trump administration. And so I guess from, I'm not sure if it's with the tariffs or what's going on, or it's harder for them to cross the border to come in to the United States and make their way down to Mexico. But it is a little scary for us who depend on this. This is supposed to be our high season. This is supposed to be our, where we make all our money for the rest of the year and to get us through the summer. And even though I'm a new practice, I've been practicing here in Los Algodones for over 10 years. And I was raised here too as a little kid with, you know, working, seeing my parents with their own practice and all that. And we know the times that are slow, we know the times that are big seasonal pushes, and January, February, beginning of March, that's the best time of the entire year. And so I'm like, this is a slow precedence. Los Algodones is a quiet and safe town. This town literally depends on all our winter visitors. So everyone takes care of them. It's a very safe little town. Everything is within a couple of blocks.
Back at the border in line to cross back, winter visitors Mark and Carla from Missouri invite you to join them. What are your thoughts on Algodones, about the experience down here?
This is awesome. I got so many friends down here. It's great.
Been coming here for 7 years.
Everybody should come here. 7 years I've been coming here. I love the place. So many friends, so many great places to go. Come to Algodones.
Are you hearing people not coming for whatever reason? Well, politics, money?
No. I haven't heard that, but if they are, come. Come, because it's fun.
For KAWC News in Los Algodones, I'm Victor Calderon.
On Monday, the local NAACP chapter celebrated the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I spoke with community leaders who reflected on the day and on MLK's teachings.
And the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island.
The words to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech filled the streets in Yuma on Monday. His speech played over a large loudspeaker during Yuma's annual NAACP-led MLK march from Yuma City Hall to the MLK Youth Career Center.
Miss Beverly Cade is our president.
Just before the march kicked off,
this dream is still alive. Look around. It's the dream. Everybody believes in the dream.
We spoke with Yuma's NAACP president, Beverly Cade, who was at the front helping lead the group.
What does the dream mean to you?
Coming together and, you know, racial equality, everybody having access to education, to housing, to voting rights, everybody having the same voting rights. You know, look around. Everybody believes like I believe. So we're doing good here in Yuma. We're doing an excellent job as a community. I'm proud of it.
While things look positive in Yuma right now, the situation across the country is more troubling, with ongoing immigration raids sparking protests and clashes in Minnesota. Here at home, it's driving people to get involved. There was nearly 100 people at Monday's march, the biggest turnout the event has seen in recent years. As the march got underway, I met Clint.
Hello.
How are you feeling today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Who was joining the march for the very first time.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
What made you come out?
Just basically just want to be more in the community. Just get more involved in more things with the way things are going on in the world today.
Does it feel like a different MLK Day this year given how things are?
I really wouldn't know how to honestly answer that. I know I would wish it to grow in more love each and every year, but it doesn't go that way.
For Ariana Rogers, an active member of the NAACP in Yuma, the MLK March is an annual tradition.
This has been a historical thing for me and my family since we've been out here. I've been out here for about 14 years now, and we've come out to the marches all the time. We're part of the NAACP, so we host it, hoping that everybody will come out. It's just a monumental thing. Every year you're doing something to commemorate somebody that did something for you, whether we think about it or not. This man is still historic, and his thing that he's done for us is still making movements till this day. And so coming out here, we're doing a movement of our own each year to show that he hasn't died in vain.
What does a dream mean to you?
The dream means to me is that we can all wake up one day and be peaceful. You know, whatever that means to everybody else, but at the end of the day, we don't wake up being scared. We don't wake up feeling like we're not our normal selves. We have to be somebody else. That's not what this is about. We are here to be our own individual person, and we all need to love each other for who we are individually.
How is it to see the community come out? This is a big turnout.
This is a big turnout. I mean, we've had some turnouts for the last few years that have been very, very life-changing for me, because we started very small. So this is historic for us to keep on having so many people come out. And hopefully next year it's even bigger. We take up the whole streets.
The walk ended a mile later at the MLK Youth Career Center.
Ring with the heart,
but the celebration continued. Community members came together to sing songs, join in prayer, and reflect on the teachings of Dr. King. Yuma's mayor was also present. Douglas Nichols read a proclamation honoring MLK Day and marking it as the 38th commemorative MLK March in Yuma.
Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us.
Ending with an encouraging message, community leader Thelma Lundy spoke on behalf of Yuma's NAACP.
Today is more than just a remembrance. It is a call to reflect, to learn, and recommit ourselves to the values Dr. King stood for. Love over hate, justice over injustice, and hope over fear. May this celebration inspire us, and most of all, thank you for helping keep Dr. King's dream alive. Thank you.
That inspiration was present on Monday, bringing community members together across generations, from the old to the young.
That we have to teach kindness to others and respect everybody in the world as well.
And don't hurt other things. And don't hurt other anyone. Don't hurt anyone.
For KAWC in Yuma, I'm Alexandra Rangel. Coming up after the break, we take a look at the lasting legacy longtime educator Dan Farr leaves behind.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer. Last summer, the Crane School District said goodbye to board member Dan, or Danny Farr, whose education career in Yuma spans decades. Today, we're taking a moment to remember him with voices from Crane. A lifelong Arizonan, Dan grew up in Tacna and graduated from Antelope Union High School. He earned his bachelor's from the University of Arizona and later his master's from Brigham Young University. But Dan's education career dates back to at least the 70s, when he was teaching at Parker High School. That's when his fellow Crane board member Jim Colby remembers meeting him.
I met Dan in 1974. I refereed high school, college, and pro sports for 40 years, and I was refereeing a game in Parker, Arizona, and Dan was teaching there at the time. And I did several games up there, and then we ended up starting to do the Christmas tournaments, and we just got to be, you know, friends as I would pass through Parker to referee. And then he moved to Yuma. And I think when he came to Yuma, I believe that he, I could be wrong on this. I believe that he came down here as a teacher and slash maybe part administrator. And then he just worked his way up through the ranks at, you know, the high school district. And, it eventually became their finance director.
Indeed, Dan taught Spanish and history, but also became vice principal and later principal of COFA High School. By the time he retired from education, he was an associate superintendent at the Yuma Union High School District. Dan couldn't stay away from education in his retirement, however. In 2015, he joined the Crane Governing Board.
I think it was very similar to why I got on a school board.
Mm-hmm.
When I was ready to retire, I thought I knew how education went. I wanted to know how are schools run? And so I ran for the board in, I'm going to say maybe 2008. I've been on the board a long time. I might be the longest serving board. Well, I know I'm the longest serving board member that's on there now. But I think that I wanted to see how schools ran, and I wanted to have some input. I care a lot about public schools. And I care a lot about kids. I think Dan wanted to be involved I know Dan was dedicated to education for kids. He cared. And I'm pretty sure that's why he ran for board.
As a board member, Dan was known for his stories and his open mind. Brenna Pollan, who previously served on the board for many years and returned in 2025, shared,
"This end of the board table was always great because he was at the end. And even though he was very considered in the things he said, he's always making little side cracks and things to keep us laughing and entertained. But my favorite thing about Dan is that he was there. He did all of his research. He looked into things. And, you know, we would have maybe a little bit of contentious issues on the board. We didn't all agree. And Dan would say, I think we ought to just give it a chance. And I always appreciated that about him because he wasn't a yes or no guy. He was like, let's try it and see. Sounds like a good idea if it's not. So that's what I learned from him was open mind, moderation. Let's all work together to come to a great solution. So he was a great guy.
Fellow board member Marcos Moore noted that Dan sometimes made decisions that some folks disagreed with. But he was reliable.
I think his legacy is going to be just what I just said, is that he was a very kind and generous man. He was thoughtful. He was pragmatic. I mean, sometimes, you know, he realized that he wasn't able to please 100% of the people. But the positions that he always took were grounded in what he believed was moral correct.
Colby explained disagreement is an important part of the governing process at Crane.
I think Crane's a damn good district. And so did he. We like all of our board members. We all get along, like I said, but we do not agree on everything, which is good. If we all agreed on everything, nothing would ever change. That might not be a positive thing. And Dan was well aware of that. He didn't agree with everything either. But everybody just seemed to have a good way to work it out.
Reflecting on Dan, Crane Superintendent Lori Doring expressed,
Dan was an incredible man. And one great thing about Dan is you really knew his priorities. It was faith, family, and philanthropy, really giving to the community. He was so proud of all the work that he's done with the Boy Scouts and the work he's done on the board. He really had that service mindset. Every month we would meet with board members, and when we meet, we go over the agenda and talk about what's going to happen at the board meeting, et cetera, and see if they have any questions prior. But during those meetings, it was wonderful because he'd share great stories, and they were always about the impact that he made on children. He'll be greatly missed. He was a great man, and we all adored him immensely.
Dan's stories are renowned by those who knew him. As a longtime friend of his, Colby's own stories help color Dan's memory. and that of his families.
He loves sports. He really loves sports a lot. And maybe that's why we hit it off to start with. But and then over the years, his mother, Dan's mother, was a coffee vendor, like putting coffee beans in different grocery stores and stuff. But his mother loved sports, and she came to every COPA basketball game, particularly the girls, because I believe that either Dan had a daughter or one of his brothers or sisters had a daughter that was playing basketball there. And she and I, we had a great relationship. She was really nice. She even mailed me a letter one time and said, "Jim, I went to the game the other night. I thought you made a few calls that were in COPA's favor." I just laughed because I certainly wouldn't have done that.
Dan also enjoyed the proximity that living by the U.S.-Mexico border offers.
He loved Mexico, and he had a place down in, it could have been Puerto Cid, south of San Felipe for a long time, and he loved to fish, and he liked to hunt. His kids and him would go down there and do that pretty regularly. And he and I talked about that, and one of my good buddies, Jim Curley, the builder, he had a place down there, and we were actually down there one time when he was there. We were down there fishing, but he really liked that.
Colby found that Dan was very dependable to everyone, and he always knew just the person for any job.
There was nothing you could ever ask Dan to do that he wouldn't do. And he had great contacts in Mexico, both in San Luis and in Algodones. We'd go down to, we'd have lunch down there. We'd go San Luis. We'd go to this place he just loved, which was great. We'd have lunch and we'd just talk about things. And when we talked about school stuff, he was so well-versed in finance. He knew everything about school financing there was to know. And he taught me a lot of stuff. I don't know how well he taught me, because maybe I'm not a good student, but he was really into our school board. He really cared what was happening in school.
But even though Dan is now passed, Jim hopes to continue carrying on with the lessons he's learned from Dan.
And we didn't, and I can tell you this, Cisco, he and I didn't always agree on that thing either. But I learned a lot from him, and I hope that in my time on the board, that whatever time that is remaining, that in my decision-making, that I will try to remember some of the things I learned from Dan, because I learned a lot from him.
Dan Farr passed away on July 22nd, 2025, and he lived for nearly 79 years. He's survived by his wife, Cheryl, 7 children, 37 grandchildren, and 8 great-grandchildren. Not to mention the many students, educators, and community members whose lives he's touched. For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer. This reporting is supported by the Arizona Local News Foundation. And you can catch a little more about Dan in our next episode of Educating Yuma.
KAWC's Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to azed@kawc.org. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. Past shows and podcast information is available online. Just visit kawc.org for more information or search Arizona Edition wherever you get your podcasts. You can also take KAWC with you wherever you go. Just download the KAWC COFA app, and the listening is in your hands. I'm Victor Calderon. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.